Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. That's FPIW.org or FPIWaction.org. Hey, we are diving into Salvation Sunday, and it's going to be a great day. We like to go through the Old Testament, New Testament, look at stories where God saves his people, where he provides deliverance for them. So we are going to be in Exodus, but if you're enjoying Salvation Sundays, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, and comment. And if you're inside that Washington Defender app, place this inside of your huddle. All right. And also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. Remember, through the 501c3 FPIW, we can do education and we can do all the things that we can grow spiritually. And through the 501c4 FPIW Action, we can do help you understand how to register on your bills, help you, remember to vote, those kind of general ideas. So anyways, we love your monthly support because it keeps empowering us to get the word of God out across Washington State, do our prayer tours, do our bill evaluations, chaplain the elected officials and love on them and share the gospel message with them. So thank you for that financial support. All right, we're going to talk about God preserving and preparing his deliverance through unlikely people and unexpected means. So let's think through this. We're going to start with Exodus chapter 2. Actually, I'm going to start in Exodus chapter 1, verse 22, and then we're going to go to Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. All right, then Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you, the Hebrew people, are to cast him into the Nile, and every daughter you are to keep alive. So Pharaoh's commandment is that every Hebrew son be cast into the Nile. He meant the Nile to be death. Isn't that interesting? And so let's read what happens. Now, a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw him, he was beautiful. She hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got him a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set among it the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what happened to him. So let's lay out the setting. Exodus 1 ends with Pharaoh commanding that every Hebrew boy be thrown into the Nile. But Moses is born directly under this death sentence. Wow. So Moses is born as a Levite to a Levite couple, though the parents are unnamed in this portion of scripture. We understand that he was a Hebrew, right? And so he was sentenced to death by Pharaoh. And yet the very thing that Pharaoh thought was going to, in essence, kill him, God uses to turn that around so Moses is in a basket and taken care of. Now, Moses' sister watches from a distance. Isn't that interesting? So when you think about your faith, there are so many things in our culture in Washington State that may seem like a death sentence like Pharaoh, right? It seems like we're on a downward spiral as we go. But faith does not mean passivity. We have to think through not being passive in our response. Faith means that we take the practical steps to get the basket, to stand strong, put tar over it. And I love this because that little basket is the same word for ark in Noah, tavah. Tavah simply means ark or covering. And so when we look at this, it's preserved through water of judgment. And so Moses is preserved from Pharaoh, who had turned the Nile into a death sentence. I love this. So water judgment, just like in Noah's day, tavah, the basket preserved him. And so what's your tavah today? How is God taking you from the things of this world that are pressing in and saying, no, the Nile isn't going to get you. I'm going to stand with you today. So this is what the mom does. But when she had hid him no longer, she could hide him no longer. She got him a wicker basket and covered it with tar and pitch, and she put the boy in it. So God often works through ordinary acts of faithfulness, hiding, watching, protecting, speaking at the right moment. And faith is not denial of danger. It's obedience in the presence of danger. So think through that. You may have some situations where you experience God's protection and God's presence with you, but you may have other situations where, it looks like you're going to get overwhelmed by the water, the judgment, the Nile. And yet God is with you and he's protecting you. So faith is not denial of danger. It's obedience in the presence. So parents, leaders, and believers may not control outcomes, but they can faithfully place what they love into God's care. So that they love this kid. So thinking about where you are today, where you're tempted that when the pressures of this world are pushing in, and you need to see the salvation of the Lord. Now, let me remind you, there's only salvation through Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, and he rose again that we may have eternal life. And the Bible says that if we confess Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So salvation's only through one. This is more, when I'm talking about Moses today, is the practical application of life, right? And so sometimes we're sentenced to things, and God wants to move through us in those moments. So let's go to verse 5. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid, and she brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw that the child, and behold, the boy was crying, and she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Now, I can guarantee that this daughter of Pharaoh knew Pharaoh's command. Guarantee it. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go ahead." So the girl went and called the child's mother. I love this. Doesn't God have a sense of humor? The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." So Pharaoh's daughter, as she comes to the Nile, sees this basket floating there, and she's probably like, "What? What in the world is that?" And then she finds the child inside the basket. And God, through his providential sovereignty, laid on her heart to take care of this child. She could have obeyed. This is the daughter of Pharaoh. She could have obeyed her dad, but instead she didn't. She rose up. So eventually we see that Moses became Pharaoh's adopted son. Now, I love this. When we think about God's providence is often quiet, precise, and even a little bit ironic. The king who attempted to eliminate Israel's future deliverer ends up financing that deliverer. And so think about how she took care of this child and the edict that was supposed to, you know, wipe it out, he took care of it. So Pharaoh's daughter became an instrument of mercy inside the very empire of oppression. So think about your hostile world that you're living in and how God can work through the structures, the people, and the resources of a hostile world without endorsing the world's rebellion. Never assume God has no servants or no openings in places where there are pure spiritual hostility. This is why we pray for Governor Bob Ferguson and for President Trump and for Maria Cantwell and Patty Murray. We have stories like Moses that show us that God shows up in very interesting ways. The people who seem powerful are not ultimately in control. God is. All right. So remember, Pharaoh was, from a human standpoint, had all power, yet God is in control. So when you think about today, I want you to think about the Nile. I want you to think about our culture. I want you to think about how God is ironic in the sense of he uses irony to take what Pharaoh meant as harm. He's taking it around for good to provide for Moses. So can you identify a time when God provided through a person, circumstance, or institution you would not have expected? So Moses identifies with his oppressed people. Look at verse 11. So Moses grows up. "Now it came about in those days when Moses had grown up that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way. And when he saw that there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other and said to the offender, 'Why are you striking your companions?' But he said, 'Who made you a prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill us as you killed the Egyptian?' Then Moses was afraid and said, surely the matter has become known. So next week, we're going to get into how God shows up in Moses' life once again through a burning bush. So think about where you are as an individual and to think about your sinfulness and the fallen world that you live in. And have you called on the name of Jesus to save you? Think about how God has oftentimes used the very thing that the enemy meant as a sword, as a place of punishment, that God just turns it around somehow to a place of provision. So we know that the same God who took care of Moses is taking care of you today. If you have not called on the name of Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to do that. And if you have, even in your circumstances like Moses, trust God's sovereignty over your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the example and the story of Moses, how you took the power of Pharaoh, who was basically, in most people's eyes at that point, ultimate power, right? Because he was the head honcho. And you kind of like laughed in his face, God. You're like, you think the Nile is going to kill all the kids? No, it's going to deliver the kids. You want to kill them? No, you're going to provide for them. And so, Lord, we just pray for that very same sovereignty over our lives, God, where maybe things that Governor Bob Ferguson thinks are for our harm, that we can see them turned around for your good. God, maybe there's areas that, God, you go before us in all things, and we just proclaim that you have a plan for us. So we do lift up Governor Bob Ferguson to you. We pray for salvation to come to his home. We lift up President Trump for wisdom, insight, and direction and salvation to come to their family. We pray for Patty Murray, Maria Cantwell, Michael Baumgartner. We pray for Suzanne Schmidt, Rob Chase. We pray for Leonard Christian. God, we pray for so many, God. And we ask that you would touch them, God, give them wisdom or salvation, whatever they need, God, that you would work it out for them. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Look, go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.